come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and I'm glad to be right here with you. This is Doc Holliday, and you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and you're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. Great shows. You can check out the other shows. We're glad to be on this network, and I'm glad to tell you what's going on this week in politics, because there's no doubt the fiscal cliff, there's negotiations going on. I can't tell you where they are now because they keep going back and forth, and what I can tell you, well, let me let the old rock band Molly Hatchet tell you what's going on right here. Yeah, that was Molly Hatchet singing Flirting with Disaster. And that's what America seems to be doing. Not just America, I'm telling you, for conservatives, it's sad to see some of the Republican Party flirting with disaster. And this is what happened last year with the debt limit that happened back before the election. The Republicans were so scared it might mess up their chances for getting elected in November that they gave the president what he wanted. Boehner caved in last summer, and they upped the debt ceiling and they kicked the can down the road, thinking if we can win the election, we'll do better then. And they're right in Obama's hands, because if they go forward with trying to do what they were elected to do as far as getting this budget under control and stop the spending, now if they try to do that, they'll look like they are clogging up the economic recovery, and they'll be put in a bad light. And that is the problem that the Republicans built themselves a wall around themselves, thinking if they could just win the election, they'd get out of it. Well, they gambled, and they lost. And the Republican Party is going to make the conservatives very upset if they cave in on taxes. And the thing about it is, it never had to be this way. It never had to be this way. But once it was put in the stone, once it was set up, and there's no way to get around it, you have to look at what's reasonable. We got to look what's best for America. And this is what I'm saying that Boehner's having to do. But his biggest problem is that he won't do something that's very simple, and I'm going to talk about it in just a few minutes. If I was Speaker of the House John Boehner, I'm going to tell you what I would do at this time in history. And then I'm obviously not, but maybe some of you can tell Speaker Boehner to listen to this show and hear what he needs to say. Until then, let me tell you what's going on in this show today. I'm going to tell you something about the California budget process. There's a note that's come out this week from California's Legislative Analyst Office projecting something about their upcoming budget. I got to share that with you, see what you think about that. And listen, in today's show, we're going to go over some of the things about the fiscal cliff. We talked about that last week with Lowell Ponte. If you missed that show, be sure to listen to last week's show. Great illustrations that will help your mind to remember the awesome, unbelievable, unheard of in all of history, the amount of money that this nation owes, the debt, what is not only our national debt, but what our obligations are. And Lowell Ponte really puts that into word pictures. You need to go back and listen to last week's show if you did not listen to it. Share that with your friends because, buddy, I'm telling you, friends, ladies, gentlemen, all across America, we need to get a grip on what's going on in this nation. And we're living in a fairy tale land, and someday the movie's going to stop, and we're going to be in a sad shape. So I want to tell you about that, and make sure you listen to last week's show if you haven't listened to it. And now I got to tell you, the other thing, we're coming up at the end of the program. We're going to give this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award. It goes to a city councilwoman's words coming out of the city of Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan. And we are going to tell you, we've talked about Detroit before. It's one of the cities that hasn't had a Republican mayor in over 50 years now. So what are the liberals doing to Detroit, and what do they feel like? We're going to tell you what one Democratic councilwoman's words were. So don't miss that at the end of the show for this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Let me get right in to a couple updates and news. One thing I told about right after the election, and it upset me, and it baffled me, but now we know what I said. The information at the time was correct, but it has been changed. So let me go back and tell you about the election. This is an election news update, but the election's over, that's for sure. Barack Obama is still the next president of the United States. He was reelected. But going back, I did say after the election that Mitt Romney did not get as many votes as John McCain. And at the time, that was true. But since then, as they got all the votes counted, it's not by much, but Mitt Romney did receive more popular votes across the country than John McCain got in 2008. So I just want to make sure sometimes information like that gets lost and forgotten. But I did make a big talk about right after the election how not enough conservatives came out to vote for Mitt Romney, and he didn't get as many votes as John McCain did, who was by no means a conservative. So let me stand corrected on that, and you can check the updated popular vote. It had Romney at like 49.1 and Barack Obama at 50.9. Very close election. Very, very close popular vote. Of course, we know the electoral vote. Obama got over 300, but he did get fewer electoral votes than he did the first time. He won by just a much smaller amount. First time in history, George Wills tells us, that a president was reelected with fewer electoral votes and fewer popular votes than he was when he won his first election. So those are some updates I wanted to follow through with and make sure you understood that, because I do want to bring you the truth as we see it, get it in and know it, because every week you depend on a new voice, and we're tired of so many of these voices out there in this country that are just not getting things right. So that's why I tell you, hear things right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You won't hear anywhere else. We're glad you're listening to us. Continue to tell your friends about us. There's a lot of people that are bewildered. A lot of people want to forget about politics, and a lot of people are just doggone tired. And, you know, I've been through that, and I'm revived, and I'm ready to tell you that this is the show you need to listen to, because every week you're going to hear something you won't hear anywhere else. And we're going to put together some stories, and we're going to put together some of the things that are happening, and we're going to give some information out on what people should do, just like in a few minutes when I tell you what Speaker of the House John Boehner should do. So stay tuned for that. Right now, let me just give you a little update. FreedomWorks, as you know, FreedomWorks for America is leading a change to try to elect true fiscal conservatives. And the guys and gals at FreedomWorks really do the hard work to win elections, and they're laying the groundwork to continue success into the future. So what is Freedom Works doing? Well, we know we like Freedom Works, and they have been a big help to conservative movement. Without the Freedom Works, we don't know how powerful the Tea Party ever would have become in 2010. Spearheaded. It was the tip of the spear in so many cases in 2009 and 2010, and getting a Tea Party movement going that really surged John Boehner into the position of leadership. Now it seems like he has forgotten how he got there. But let me give you some news on what's going on in Freedom Works. For those who have not heard, Dick Armey, who was the leading figure and helped promote Freedom Works, has resigned and stepped down. And there's apparently some disagreement in the boardroom about the direction of Freedom Works. Matt Kibbe is now the leader, and there are different stories coming out. Don't know. Some staff resigned, others resigned, and it was said that there was a disagreement earlier in the year. But they decided to wait till after the election, and Dick Armey would leave. And they were talking about a $8 million buyout. It was not by Freedom Works. It's by a board member that agreed to help pay Dick Armey if he resigned after the election, is what's been reported. And we'll follow that story as we see it. We think Freedom Works is a big, big plus in the conservative movement. But even Freedom Works has got to redefine itself, because the election was lost. They won some things. They pushed Ted Cruz big in the primaries in Texas, and Ted Cruz came out a big winner as a United States Senator from Texas. They also pushed out Dick Lugar out of the seat in Indiana and put Murdoch as the Republican primary winner. And guess what? Murdoch got beat. So they're not all positive stories out of the conservative field of groups like Freedom Works. And that's why Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics was part of the surge in the Tea Party movement. But the Tea Party movement is like any movement, it's going to grow and change. We're seeing that at Freedom Works. It's not the only place. Everybody's having to redefine what happened. How did the election get, how did the presidency get back into the hands of the liberals? It stayed in the hands of the liberals. So what happened? And if you want to know how we're going to deal with that, listen each week, because you're going to hear more of that. And how do I feel about Freedom Works? Well, Freedom Works is going to continue. And Dick Armey was no doubt a lightning rod figurehead, and I'm saying that in a good way, that he brought people to the table and made that group and surge forward. And so he's going to be very much missed, and we're going to have to see what goes on as Matt Kibbe continues to lead the group, and let's see what kind of firepower he can bring to the group. But Freedom Works is a great organization. It's going through some changes, and we shall follow it and see how it goes. We do want to thank different people from Freedom Works who've always worked well with us on Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. So we've had several interviews with people from Freedom Works, and they are top-notch staff that know the facts and figures and help explain it to the American people. And we do that through interviews right here at Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. So I wanted to update you that on Freedom Works. And as I get more information, we'll get to that also. Now, let me take this time right here to remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's www.webtalkradio.net. Go there, and we're not the only show there. The other great show, so go there and listen. But go ahead and lock it in on Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. Make it a favorite every time you're listening to your or reading your emails, checking out what's going on in the news. Make sure you click on Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics and listen to our show each week, and we will be greatly honored that you continue listening to us as we become a voice in making sure this country moves to the right. We got to save this country. And you'll hear more and more each week about what we need to do. Now, one of the things I want to remind you, I still have the book out, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. It can be purchased at Amazon.com. You can go there if you want to go to Amazon. Got some Christmas money or gift certificate? Get my book at Amazon. Or you can get it at my website. And it's you can still go there by GetObamaOutNow.com. But you can also go to the front page, my home page here, and hit the link to my click. The link to my website and get right there and order the book, and we'll be glad you did. It could be a collector's issue in the future. Let me just give you that word. And when these books are gone, they're probably gone. So just for those who are looking for what's going on in this election and how things were put together, don't miss your opportunity to get the book before they're gone. And also other good books there, so visit the website. We'll be glad for you to take a look around. Now, I told you about an article in about California's Legislative Analyst Office. I'm going to get to that, but right now I'm going to tell you about... I was listening. A friend of mine told me about a routine. I remember I'd forgotten. I went back and heard a routine by old Bill Cosby, talking about Noah, and could you imagine being Noah and God telling you to build an ark and go get some animals and it's going to rain and that's really somehow like what's going on in after the election loss for Republicans, conservatives. You know what's God telling us to do? So here's just a little bit of that clip. We're gonna start right in where God is talking to Noah. Noah's frustrated and he doesn't want to do the hard work that God's called him to do. So let's see how Bill Cosby coins this part.
Gotta take one of those hippos out and bring in another one.
What for?
Because you got two males down there and you need to bring in a female.
I'm not bringing nothing in. You change one of them.
Come on, you know I don't work like that.
Well, I'm sick and tired. I've had enough of this stuff. I've been working all day, working on for days and days. I'm sick and tired of this.
Noah?
Yeah?
How long can you tread water?
How long can you tread water? Is that what God's telling us? If you're tired of politics, you're disgusted, you're upset, you're mad at the Tea Party's mad at Republicans mad at conservatives, people won't move, people won't have an open mind, people are too narrow-minded. Anytime you lose election, there's all kind of fingers being pointed, and it's the left. I guarantee you, it's the left that's setting up the fodder, feeding the frenzy, and right here in the middle of this fiscal cliff, and everybody's forgetting Obamacare is kicking in. The taxes are kicking in on January 1st, and it's like the whole establishment wants you to forget about the crisis that's coming called Obamacare taxes. And so I'm saying that clip of Bill Cosby, and as if he was Noah and God telling him to go build an ark. You know, in a lot of ways, if you believe in the conservative principles, you know what's right. You know that Noah knew God was right. But here was Bill Cosby doing, said, God, I got two hippos here, and I didn't know they're both male. Won't you just change them? You know, let's have the easy way out. I'm tired. I'm tired of working hard, and things aren't going like they should be. And then, of course, God told Noah, how long can you tread water? Oh, that's what somebody needs to say to John Boehner, to McConnell, to all the Romney aides and everybody. How long can you tread water? There's a fiscal storm coming. We know it's going to drown everything that is living in the economy known as the great American economy. Our engines are being filled with sand. It's tearing up the inner workings. And can we ever regain our footing if we lose their status as the world's reserve currency? The American dollar is in jeopardy. We are in jeopardy worldwide. If we cannot get our spending in under control, our budget process, and make it simple and workable, and by golly, the Senate needs to provide a budget. It's there in the law, and they can't. Maybe we ought to put every Democratic senator in jail. By golly, it's time to get some action here. Okay, I just want to remind you why we're working hard. I look at my children lying in bed at night, and I see them. They're depending on me. It's the world. It's going to be a rough world even as it is. But can you imagine if we have, look at Detroit, without any Republican mayor for over 50 years, do we want every city in America, every country, every county in America to look like Detroit, Michigan looks right now? The answer is no. That's why we do what we do. That's why I get on the radio. That's why I do what I do in my community and around the country. Because Doc Holliday cares, and you care, and people across America care. We didn't get enough enthusiasm to push us over the edge and get Romney in. So what that means is we're going to have to coalesce. We're going to have to look and cut our losses, but we got to have more voters than the other side. And that's the simple fact. How do we get there? With conservative principles leading the way. And I told you, just like Noah knew the flood was coming, he wasn't quite sure. It had never rained before, if you read the Bible story. And Noah had to build an ark. But you know what? In a lot of ways, the conservatives in America have to build an ark. The flood of financial misery is coming. If we can't stop it, we've got to have a plan ready to pick up the pieces for our children's sake, for the sake of our nation. And we have to fight these rascals who don't give a flip about spending money and printing more money, and they think it just keeps growing on trees. But I'm telling you, our role in the survival of America is so important. It's more important now than it's ever been. So saying all that, let me inspire you with the words, if I was Speaker of the House John Boehner, this is what I would say. Mr. President, congratulations on your reelection, and we are so glad that you are our leader for the next 4 years. We respect the office of the Presidency of the United States, and we will work with you for the betterment and the moving forward of our country. The United States needs your leadership, and we will work with your leadership. But I want to remind you that the United States people, we the people of the United States, elected the people's house, the House of Representatives. And do not forget, Mr. President, that the Constitution states in Article 1, Section 7, all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives. Mr. President, with all due respect, you can say what you want, but I am the leader of the House of Representatives. That's the people's house. Our Constitution does not make a dictator. It does not make a king. It's the people's representatives who are elected every 2 years who are given the purse strings, the money, the ability to raise money for the government. It says all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives. And therefore, Mr. President, you weren't the only one reelected. I was reelected. And the people in the House of Representatives, the people's representatives, have made me the Speaker of the House. And therefore, I will negotiate with you. But I want you to understand, All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives. And if you do not like that, you go get an amendment to the Constitution. But until you do, I'll remind you that 435 representatives from every state of the United States have made me the speaker. And I'm telling you that the House will originate any revenue bills. The Senate can approve it or change it or concur with us, and it'll go onto your desk. And if you veto it, the American people will suffer. But we will get a bill, and we will show you what needs to be done. And we will work with your White House staff if they want to come down and work with us. But don't name call us. And don't go and tell people that we're not working, because we want what's best for America. And I hope you do too. So let's get this thing on the road. And we're not going to go over a fiscal cliff. You're the one that we're driving if it go over the fiscal cliff, because we have got a bill ready to go. You just need to sign it. Folks, that's what, if I was Speaker of the House, John Boehner, that's what I would say. And I'd remind him that I was elected just like he was. Now, he has executive power, but the Constitution gives the House of Representatives, the People's House, all the power for raising revenue. And that's why they reelected John Boehner as Speaker of the House. Okay, I told you I was going to talk about the California's Legislative Analyst Office. They're projecting a $1 billion surplus by 2014 to 2015 fiscal year. It's $6 billion in new tax revenue is due to flood into the state coffers because the voters passed a staggered tax increase on individuals and families earning more than $250,000 a year. Huh. Guess who else wants taxes from those same people? And guess what? Obamacare has already taxed them. They're going to be paying more taxes starting January 1st. So how many of those people in California are going to raise their hand and say, kick me again, kick me again? And how many are going to say, it's time to leave this state? You know what? When California starts losing some people who are getting tired of getting kicked in the can as their state kicks the can down the road, well, I believe that that may just be a big mirage. They look at the book and say, hey, this is how much money we'll get when we tax these folks. They don't realize these folks can fly the coop, and some of them are going to go to Texas and Nevada and other places where they can set up business, set up shop. And I know in my business, I use records and folders that come from a place that I started buying them in California. But a few years ago, they moved to Idaho. I asked why, and they said, it was a world of difference, because in Idaho, they wanted their business. In California, they did everything in the world to tick them off. And so they said, it's time to up and move. And they got the heck out of California. And you know what? There's a lot of other folks going to be getting the heck out of California, it looks like. So that rosy expectation of $6 billion come rolling into coffers of California, I say, don't count your eggs before they hatch, or don't count your chickens before they hatch. And now it's time for this week's Tombstone of the Week award that I told you about. Okay, let's shift our focus to the to the city of Detroit, Michigan. And there was Detroit City Councilwoman Joanne Watson. She announced that President Obama should toss something Detroit's way. What does she want President Obama to toss? Bacon. Okay, this is what Joanne Watson, Detroit City Councilwoman, said, and this is why it gets this week's Tombstone of the Week award. It said, this is her quote, our people in an overwhelming way supported the reelection of this president, and there ought to be a quid pro quo, and you ought to exercise leadership on that, said Watson. Of course, not just that, but why not? After the election of Jimmy Carter, the Honorable Coleman Alexander Young, he went to Washington, D.C. He came home with some bacon. That's what you do. Okay. Well, That's what you do. You elect somebody, and they're supposed to bail your city out. Well, it just so happens the same Joanne Watson, it says that it's just one day after she declared that President Obama should direct financial aid to the voters to help keep him in office. The city council there in Detroit voted on a budget amendment that would send almost $30 million in payments toward unfunded debts in the city's general pension system. And they hadn't sent any there, and they voted to approve it 8-1. But guess who refused to send money to the pension fund? It was Joanne Watson. She was the only council member to vote against the proposal. So she wanted some bacon, but she wasn't going to give out any bacon. Well, let's hope all America doesn't look like the city of Detroit is financial condition in 4 more years. But folks, we better be praying and working hard. You know, that's why I went on my rant earlier about we can't give up. And just like God was calling Noah to build an ark, we have got to save this country. So don't give up. People don't believe it's coming. And just like in Noah's day, they didn't believe it's going to rain. And then it's too late when the rain started coming down. So let's get to work now and build this ark to save America with conservative principles. And you can do that by listening to our show each week. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Be sure to tell your friends and neighbors about our show. And be sure to tune in next week because we got things happening in Egypt and Syria. We're going to have a little international news. And we're going to talk to Theodore Shubat. And if you're not familiar with him, his father was a Palestinian terrorist who was recruited to work here in America. And he was a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And we're going to be talking about the Muslim Brotherhood and what it means in Egypt, what it means in Syria, what's going on there. We're going to talk about somebody who knows, in fact, speaks out, he and his father. And I can't even tell you where he lives because his life is under threat. He's a young man. And yet here we are living in America where we have freedom of speech, supposedly, but he can't even tell us where he lives. Because his life is always threatened by family members who don't like the fact that he has renounced Islam. His father and he, too, have renounced Islam and have actually become Christians and exposing some of the things with the Muslim Brotherhood, their belief system. So we're going to be talking about that next week. So don't miss next week's show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.